Hey there, automotive enthusiast friends. No matter where you are, this latest episode, this latest...
inveterate episode of V8 Radio, Kevin.
Inveterate episode is being beamed into your ears electronically anywhere you are in the world. How about that?
How about that?
What does inveterately mean?
Having a particular habit, activity, or interest that is long established and unlikely to change.
Wow, right on. So just take away all the hope of our listeners. This ain't going to get any better.
We just continue to pour excellence out of the show.
I was hoping you were going to change this for the better.
That's why
no.
I keep listening, hoping for a change, but I don't know if it's ever going to happen now.
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate those who resist the change. Right. I'm your host, Kevin Oste, joined as always by our esteemed co-host, Mr. Mike Hubal Clark. And there's a lot happening right now. It's good.
It is good. Yeah, it's exciting. I mean, I think the weather is finally, here in the Midwest, it's finally starting to change for the better at the end of April of all times.
Yes. So another thing that's exciting is an inveterate tradition we have.
Ooh.
Of whipping out an automotive trivia question at the beginning of the show and then putting it to bed at the end. So have you prepared a trivia question?
Yes, sir. And extra points for proper use of the word inveterate. I love it.
And for whipping it out.
Good thing this is radio, folks. All right, Kev, here we go. So in the past, when referring to your Riviera, you've talked about how it uses an electric fuel pump, which is pretty high-tech for 1970. But that is an inline fuel pump, if I'm correct, not an in-tank fuel pump. Is that correct?
That would be incorrect.
It's an in-tank fuel pump.
It is an in-tank fuel pump.
Well, then my trivia question blows.
Right on.
Because I've had, then my research was flawed.
Oh, wow. So this was going to be, what was the first intake fuel pump?
What was the first intake fuel pump? What GM model was the first to use an intake fuel pump?
And what did you have?
1971 Chevy Vega.
Yeah, no.
Mm.
But there is a good trivia question there, because that Vega pump works in the Riv if you can find one as a suitable replacement. It's a Carter part number, I believe. Now,
well, right on and right off for my sucky question.
Well, this is an unusual situation I've never had,
and this is not an inveterate type of question.
Yeah, you thought this show never changed.
Yeah,
what do we do in this situation?
You thought we were going to zig, and boom, we zagged.
This is like a ground rule double here. This is like,
It is. Holy cow. And I don't have another one on the ready either. Oh, Michael, you are just batting
a
thousand.
Well, all right. So for this episode only, this is an exclusive to our repeat listeners. We're just going to turn that trivia question into a short story time as an added bonus at no extra charge.
How about that? Very good. Love it. Yeah. Free and worth every penny.
That's right. So 69 was actually the first year of the in-tank electric fuel pump on the Riv. And they only did it 2 years. And then there's a lot of discussion about why and what and all that jazz.
Uh-huh.
It seems like most people today that have these cars, it's fairly unusual to find one that still has the original electric fuel pump working. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you see that they've been replaced by an on-the-block mechanical pump.
Mechanical pump, yep.
Yeah, and people seem to curse these electric ones, and I keep telling them, they're the way to go. They're so nice.
Sure.
Mine's original, so it's 52 years old.
Still
pump's
kicking.
Pump's just fine, yeah. And you know, it's only 38,000 miles of usage on it.
True. But it's still 52 years of age on it.
Right, and it stays cool in the tank, and... It properly serves, and it's not hard to change. There's an access door in the trunk floor, so you can just unbolt that.
Oh, how nice is that?
You take the sender out of the top of the tank through the same hole, switch the pump out, and go back to business. The other one that's popular now is from a Ford Ranger pickup truck from the late 80s, mid 80s, that was still carbureted.
Okay.
Because the low pressure electric fuel pump is the trick.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So does that have a return system on that fuel system, or is it a deadhead?
It's a deadhead.
Is it?
But I want to say that this is the early days of California emissions, and that might have had a return because those had a charcoal canister.
Okay.
For and vapors, I think and a return line. Mine does not have that.
Okay. So it's a federal emissions car then?
I think so.
Okay.
But yeah. So there you go.
Well, there you go. Story time.
Well, you know, so everybody doesn't tune out. We do have a trivia question. I prepared one for you.
Well, all right. Well, we'll get one question out of this episode anyway.
And this is trivial.
Oh, great.
Well, meaning it's not very important to anything. Uh-huh. Okay, so you remember in the 80s? Remember the 80s?
I do remember the 80s.
Yeah. It was an interesting time because we saw a lot of, even in the 70s, American domestic automakers partnering up with Japanese or European counterparts to bring in, to badge, license cars to sell in the American market without having to actually engineer and develop and build.
Correct.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the Dodge Colt was a good example.
Yes.
The big insult was the Plymouth or the Dodge Charger from the late 70s.
Right. Yes.
And Plymouth Sapporo, mm-hmm. which was a Mitsubishi, I believe.
I believe so, yes.
So our friends in Fordland tapped their German counterpart brand, Merkur, which is the German Mercury.
Uh-huh.
And they brought out a pretty cool little sports sedan built in Germany that was the sister to the Ford
Tempo,
Sierra.
Maybe?
No, the Ford Sierra in Germany is what it was called.
Oh, okay.
Sierra 2000, I think. And they had all kinds of cool Sierra rally cars and stuff over there. But here in the U.S., we got the Merkur XR4 Ti.
Yes, we did. I remember those
XR,
well.
What does the XR4 Ti stand for?
Okay, that is one heck of a trivia question.
Super trivial.
XR4 Ti. Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if you speak European. I mean, you do. You've owned those cars, but... yeah, I mean, not those, but you've owned European cars for sure.
Yes, yes. Oh, that is funny. I remember, gosh, when I was in the Air Force, I saw some Mercurs on the road, the XR4 TIs. And I remember my girlfriend at the time, her friend, always thought that it said Xerati, not XR4 TI.
It's almost like they did. And that's a really great observation because it kind of looked like that. And of course, for the first year in the U.S., they had the dual wing on the back.
Yes.
The dual spoiler. And I think they toned that down towards the later production. And then there was also the four-door luxury sedan called the Merkur Scorpio.
I remember that too. Yeah. Yeah. And you are scratching my brain, man.
Well, that's why we're here. Mm-hmm. The Scorpio was cool. That car had a reclining rear seat. Power reclining rear seat.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think those were still four cylinders, maybe a turbo four and a six, and you get a stick in them, and those are pretty neat little cars.
Yeah, that is cool. All right, but getting back to the question here.
Bought you some time there.
Yeah, you did. I was using that time to try to think of something, too.
I saw you scratching your brain.
Yeah. So, all right, XR4 Ti, what does it stand for? I'm going to say experimental rear drive,
ooh.
Four door.
Ooh.
Look
at this guy deciphering this.
Yeah.
Like a code.
Yeah, right. The T is four speed transmission, I is injected.
Okay, stand back. Four speed. So the T's for the trans. I don't want to get any of this wrong here. So I'm transcribing.
That's good because I got it all wrong for you.
And injected. All right. Outstanding answer. A lot of thought in that.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, for as trivial as it is, it's a cool question.
So, all right.
Well, I've actually always wanted to know what XR4TI stands for, and we're going to find out at the end of the show.
Today is your day has come.
My day is here. Who's the lucky boy? I'm a lucky boy.
That's it. Well, you still got a few more minutes of waiting until the pinnacle moment of your existence.
Here it comes, man. Here it comes. I can't wait. I've waited 52 years. I can wait one more hour.
All right. Well.
Oh, man, I'm slap happy.
That's okay. Allergy season. Speaking of the Riv, got to put some miles on it last week.
You sure did. And I got my first little spin in that Riv last week.
Was that your first ride in that thing?
Yeah, man. It certainly was.
Wow. So drove it from my house in the St. Louis region, Southern Illinois, up to Chicago for a guy's weekend and took the Riv. Our buddy Grady and I buzzed up there and met yourself and some cousins and had a really killer time.
Yeah, it was an amazing time. Yeah, so typically when you come up on Friday night, Saturday morning is the day of our little event, and you typically kick it off with breakfast at a Chicago breakfast place. And I decided this year I'm gonna check this place out, and so we all get to have breakfast together for the first time
at the Alps.
At the Alps on Elston and Irving Park Road in
at
Chicago.
The Alps on Elston and Irving
over by there.
Irving Avenue, Irving Park Road. It's Elston Avenue.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was good. The food was great.
And, it is good.
The company was even better.
Oh, man, you sat at a different table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, interestingly, the Alps, it's a great restaurant. They've got a couple of them. And I noticed it this time. The entrees for breakfast, the names of them are kind of interesting. So they have the Big Man Special.
Yes.
And they also have the Lady Special. Which is a bit smaller than the
big man. And what did you order, Kevin?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to blow your story. Let's go on. Continue. No,
it ain't much of a story. And, you know, today we're in this interesting time of gender stuff and whatnot. So I was a little bit surprised, actually, that they've kept that, that they've been able to keep that without raising, you know, people getting all riled up over the Big Man and the Lady Special. The Big Man's it's a big breakfast, you know. So one of my cousins who did not make it is a big man. You know, he's a former college football player and a football coach.
Yes.
And he texted in, have a lady special for him.
Did he really?
So I had the lady special.
So you honored his request. God bless you. That's good stuff.
Well, I'm reading like the 25-minute long list of ingredients that you get with the Big Man. I'm like, I can't do this. It's gonna be too much.
Same. I mean, I don't miss many meals, and by golly, I like to eat. But I saw that. I'm says that is not gonna happen today, babe. No way.
Yep. So the lady special worked out just great. And you guys, you know, snickering as I order.
Well, even the waitress gave you some grief about it too.
Well, that's gotta happen all the time.
Yeah. She's like,
what happens when you get a lady who's hungrier than a big man?
Yeah, I mean,
do they snicker then?
No, absolutely not. Okay, so, big man, here we
that's
go.
That's right. So after breakfast, we drove over to my cousin's place, and then so our friend Grady got us an Airbnb like right next to Wrigley Field, basically.
Yeah.
So it had a parking garage.
Is that what you're calling it?
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Yeah.
So as we were putting this trip together, I said, you know, I'm thinking about driving the Riv up there. And, you know, everybody's like, are you crazy? You're going to take this into the city and park the car on the street and, you know, it's going to get stolen or damaged.
Right.
I said, well, I've done that before and it really wasn't that big of a deal. But if we can find some place with a garage, then I'm totally down, you know?
Yeah.
So Grady finds his place, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem. And he tells me we got a place with a garage. And I was able to hit the Google Street View and motor up and down the alley there virtually. And I said, are we sure that this is going to fit? So he's like, let me check with the host, the landlord. And he, oh yeah, sure. No problem. And this person, I'm imagining, has never seen a 1970 Buick Riviera.
Yeah, likely not. Because
although it's a two-door, it's not a small vehicle.
Yeah.
So when we got up there on Friday, it actually, and not only was it a small one-stall garage space, it had a brick wall protruding along one side of it.
Yes.
So you can only approach this from one side, from one direction. And it was raining like crazy, and it was dark, and it took us about 20 minutes to get the car in the
good
first
heavens.
Time.
You know, if you had an XR4 Ti, it would have fit like nobody's business.
I could have winged right in there.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Double winged right in there.
Or if I, you know, there's a lot of things I could have done. So the strategy was to, we all drove back, parked the car, and then, you know, walked throughout our day. And took the advantage of an Uber later on and all that. So the car drove up there and then sat for the duration. And then we drove it back home. And it rained all the way up there. It rained all the way back. And this car, I mean, it's okay. I mean, it didn't really bother me. It car's been rained on before.
Sure.
It's Rain-X'd heavily. It doesn't leak, which is cool.
That's beautiful.
But an interesting thing happened because we installed some new weather strip on the driver's window and I think the passenger window also, because it used to whistle real bad at highway speeds. So put the new weather strip in, it was silent, you know, except when you put two people in it, it whistles.
Really?
I can't explain it.
Wow.
Because it whistled all the way up there and all the way back. And usually there's a little dance you can do. So when the weather strip is whistling, it's because you actually have a high pressure in the car and low pressure outside.
Okay,
people think it's the other way around. People think that the air is trying to get in the car. The air does not want to ride along with you. It wants to get out. Just like when air goes over an airplane wing, it creates that negative.
That low pressure, sure.
Low pressure. So it's drawing all the air out. So if you, you know, sometimes you can manipulate the, you know, roll the window up as high as possible.
Right, a little tighter, yeah.
Or close one door and then the other. You know, or roll the windows up at low speed and make sure they're seated. And then, you know, because sometimes you go down the highway and it's quiet, you crack the window open and it never seals up again the rest of the trip.
Gotcha.
I tried all that. None of it worked. And afterwards, today, this morning, as a matter of fact, I achieved higher speeds than I did on that trip. Dead silent. But I was solo in the car. Only variable.
All right, let's analyze this.
There was a crosswind for a little while that was pretty heavy. I actually pushed that car all over the place. I really got to change the alignment specs. So I thought the crosswind coming over the top of the car was creating a vortex between the window and the top rain gutter ledge and maybe sucking it out that way. But there was a crosswind out there today. Got nothing.
That is crazy. I mean, could two people be causing something to flex just enough in that car to change how that window seals against the weather strip?
I was actually thinking the interior volume of the cabin.
Oh, okay.
You put two large objects in there, and now for some reason there's a pressure change because you've got less airspace or whatnot.
You should get a mannequin and test that out.
Go drive around with a mannequin for a while.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing if it whistles.
Yeah. And then you can drive in the HOV lanes and all that stuff.
Yeah. You might be onto something there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big fine, by the way.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
you get caught doing that. Mm-hmm. I remember people in California used to do that, and they would only do it once.
Right on.
So, you know, we got 13.5 miles per gallon going up. Got 11 and change coming back.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
Oh, brother, that hurts.
And I'm, especially today, in this fuel price climate, I'm pretty convinced that thing got 15 to 16 a couple of years ago.
That's what you were saying.
Was
that with the Quadrajet, though, right? Not the Demon Carb?
that was with the Quadrajet. It's got a demon on there now, which at highway speed, I mean, I guess the demon, I don't know if it's got a bigger mouth than the Quadrajet did at highway speed, you know, high vacuum situations or not. And this was tuned with a, you know, with an air fuel meter.
Right.
But I don't know. We'll see. So that was a thing. And again, there was some headwinds involved and stuff, but I was hoping for a little bit better than that.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And I was also running different oil. So there you go.
Hmm. Yeah, but can that, will that have that big an effect?
If it does, I'm pouring the old stuff back in. Because that was a Royal Purple HPS, which is a great oil.
Is that right?
Really super slick, full synthetic. And what's in there now is not a full synthetic because I was kind of breaking in my new oil pump and,
all
that. So after the first change, you know, a few hundred miles with the new oil pump, I'm going to change it to the full synthetic again. And then I guess I just got to come back and visit.
Just come back up, man. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see you next weekend. Right on.
That's good right. Next weekend. But yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a great time. I enjoyed. I love when you come up and we get to hang out and have a good time. And Grady just brings a whole new dynamic to the day as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It was nice that, you know, the overall feel of the day was. Again, it rained, and then the Saturday was perfect. Weather was beautiful.
Yes.
Everybody was out. Windows are all open, and everybody was just, like, relieved to be out and enjoy the day. And it was also, you know, in everybody's favor that we're at a bar across from Wrigley Field, and the Chicago Cubs won 21-0.
21-0. That is right. That's right. That was a club record.
Yeah,
for the biggest, what was it, the biggest number of runs in a shutout in franchise history. Yeah.
So the mood was great, you know, and everybody was happy. So it was fun.
Yeah, that's great. And then the weather's been garbage ever since.
Yeah, it's finally nice today, but this past week has been horrible.
Yeah.
So that was that trip, and... You know, you always learn something about the car when you do road trips and make a list of things that, you know, you come back and you're going to straighten out. And in addition to that weather strip and the whatever the fuel situation is, got a couple of other little things to do here and there.
That's right.
I got to get that alignment straightened out. And I've been waiting. I ordered that front sway bar in November of last year, and now we're in May, and it's still not here.
Oh, yes.
And that's going to make a big difference, but...
That's huge. By golly, what's the holdup? Are they still trying to mine the ore to
just the world.
Melt it down?
It's the current world. So I'm not a doomsday guy. I try to be, you know, kind of positive. And last week I was on a phone call with Tom Gattuso from SEMA. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy that runs the SEMA show. And he said, "How's your shop doing?" And I said, "It's doing great. You know, we're busy and moving right along." And he said, "How's the supply chain?" And I said, "Supply lines, I think, are actually loosening up. I think they're getting better. I think we're getting our hands on stuff sooner and
good.
We're starting to hopefully get back to normal." And he goes, "Yeah, I don't mean to be that guy." He said, "But China's on lockdown, and there's over 500 ships waiting to get loaded there that on hold until they unlock China." So he said, get while the getting's good, because if any componentry is coming from over there, it's going to choke up again. So I hope he's wrong. It makes sense, but I don't know.
That's rough. I mean, do we know why they're locked down?
Well, they've had this COVID spike in China.
Oh, have they? Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, we're over here just ignoring the hell out of that whole thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we're done with this.
Over it, yeah. And over the past, you know, month and a half or so, they've really spiked to the point of locking down the citizens and shutting things down. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know what? A silver lining to that would be if we could get some more U.S.-based manufacturing spun up to counter that.
Well, that would be wonderful, except for... the challenge of all the piece parts that are made over there to make that happen here.
That's true.
And even, you know, some of the raw materials, and I guess it's not quite as easy as, well, I'll just make it here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the answer for sure.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, with the global economy, I mean, these things are going to affect the globe when one of your partners is, you know, out of the game for a period of time. So that stinks.
And this is relevant because we have listeners on all 38 corners of the globe.
All 38.
So we're communicating right to you.
So, oh, that's brilliant.
Also, this past week, I had the fortunate opportunity to go do a career day thing with a local grade school.
Right on. Was that a junior high you went to?
Junior high, yeah, 7th and 8th graders. And it was really cool. So we have a customer who is an administrator at the school. And
okay,
if you recall, it wasn't last year, maybe 2 years ago, we shared a video on a white 68 Malibu that our customer bought for her husband as a anniversary gift?
Yes, yes.
And we found him the car and then did some fixes on it and helped right. with the surprise delivery. So that guy, her husband, is an administrator, and he's a good friend of ours.
Cool.
And about a month ago, he said, hey, do you want to come out on this Friday morning and do this career day thing? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I completely forgot all about it, of course.
It's not like you.
No. You know, recently, it's almost been a little spooky because I think I've forgotten a few things along the way because I've got so much stuff in my head, I don't think there's much more room in there.
Yeah.
But I looked at my calendar and it said, hey, tomorrow morning, you got to be there at 8 o'clock. And, oh, I better figure out what I'm going to tell these guys. So I buzzed over to the school, and it was funny because it was a very well done presentation that they had in the gymnasium, and everybody had tables and like mini trade show displays.
Yeah.
Like a job fair feel. So you'd go through table to table.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I really didn't bring anything. So I got my laptop out of the car cause I had that, and I fired up a shop tour video and had that looping. And then, okay. My buddy, the administrator, is like, you need some props, you know, because the kids are going to walk by and they don't know what you do. So luckily, he's a car guy. He went in his office and brought out a couple 1/18 scale models and threw them on the table for me.
Nice.
So as the students would come through, you know, they're kind of sheepishly looking around, and I would just hit them up and say, hey, you guys like cars? Well, yeah. Well, what do you like? You know, and just kind of take it from there. And one of the cool things that I noticed was that there are young kids that are way into cars.
Yes. Yes, that is true. And I love that.
I was not really knowing what to expect in that area, mm-hmm. but the Dodge Charger is like the most recognized brand of this particular group of kids.
Is that right?
What kind of cars do you like? Chargers? Oh, right on. Yeah.
Well, like old, like 69, 70 Chargers or...
Well, that's the thing, is because there's all these different generations now of Chargers, and I assumed that it was probably like, you know, Hellcats and modern stuff.
I got you.
And one kid's like, 71 RT 440, bam.
Sign this kid up.
Yeah, right. And another kid said, I want a 68, you know, Dodge Charger. Mm-hmm. Very cool. We had a bunch of people that like Mustangs. A lot of kids like Corvettes.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, could recognize them and talk about them. And then we had a few that were just like, I don't know, I just like cars. One kid really liked Lamborghinis, you know.
Okay.
Every kid likes those. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't there to recruit 7th grade kids into the technician world of being in the automotive side.
Right.
I learned actually from Kelly in a conversation that the automotive world needs every single possible career there is.
Right.
Right. So a lot of people dismiss it by saying, oh, you work on cars, so you're a mechanic or you're a tech or you're a painter or whatever. But in reality, a business needs accountants and it needs marketing people and human resources and everything. And I was telling these students that, you know, if a kid wanted to be an accountant, kid's good with numbers, what would you rather do? Because you came over to my table because you like cars. Would you like to be an accountant at a company that makes, you know, these plastic water bottles, or mm-hmm. one that builds race cars, you know? Race cars, yeah, for sure. So they had never thought that way. They never thought.
Right.
And, you know, again, seventh and eighth grade kids. But I was very surprised at their sophistication level.
That's cool, man.
And when I was in seventh grade, I mean, I was only 6 months into knowing how to tie my shoes. So there was no way of me saying what my career was going to be.
Yeah.
But I knew I liked, you know, playing with cars. So I think a lot of them were like, oh, you know, I can do this. And this one girl in particular came up, and her two friends were into cars, and they're looking at the video and asking questions. And she's kind of standing back, just kind of waiting for them. And I said, so what... you know, are you into cars? Yeah, I think they're cool. And I said, right on. Do you have any idea of, you know, a career of what, you know, you might want to do? And she said, well, yeah, I'm going to go to law school. And I went, right on. And so she said, so, you know, I got really nothing here. And I said, hey, wait a minute.
Hey.
You would not believe the amount of legal necessity there is in everything in the automotive world. And she's mm-hmm. like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, here's the big one. I said, you see this car on this video screen here? She's like, yeah. I said, you could go to law school and you could be the person at some point that helps fight for our rights to keep driving these kinds of cars. Cause you know, maybe there's people that want to take them away. Well, why would they want to do that? And I said, well, you got to go find out. Yeah. So she's like, oh, and there you go. Now she's got the automotive industry on the radar screen. And
sweet,
I thought that was
man.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I was expecting a bunch of EV conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because it's a hot topic, and
yeah.
I don't know what kids are being taught or what they're exposed to, whatever. Mm-hmm. And really nothing. They really didn't care.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Interesting.
There was not a crusade to save the world type atmosphere there. They just thought, you know, certain cars were cool, certain not. And then one young guy comes up, and he's like, you got a shop? And I said, yeah, we build these cars and everything. And he said, hey, and he's seventh grade. And he says, well, my dad's got a shop, and someday it's going to be mine. So can you help me figure out how to run it? I said, oh boy.
My wife Kelly is not here right now, but she's the one you want to talk to with that.
Well, for sure. And it really kind of pivoted my whole thought process, because here's a guy who likes the cars mm-hmm. and but knows that at some point he's going to be a businessman. And I said, if I knew now.
Oh, yes.
If I was a seventh grade kid and somebody said, yes, learn all you want about cars on your own time
mm-hmm.
Or take some classes or whatever, but also you want to take a couple of business classes to learn a little bit about finance and a little about the responsibilities of being a business owner, what it takes mm-hmm. so that you can put the two together. And that's what this guy's going to do. So that I thought was cool.
He has half the battle won already. He knows what he wants to do, what he's going to do. And now he has a lot more time to figure out how to do it. So good for that kid.
Yes. Super sharp. So I approached my administrator buddy and I said, hey, I don't know how this works today. Mm-hmm. I said, but do you know that little guy over there? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, see if you can maybe communicate with the parents and let them know that we're happy to give him a tour and them. Come mm-hmm. through the shop and talk about, you know, how this all works. And he's like, yeah, I'll see if I can get their permission. And, you know, they'll reach out to you. And perfect.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Oh, I hope he makes it. That'd be great.
Yeah. Well, like
I said. Blow his mind.
He's 100,000 years ahead of where I was.
He's 100,000 years ahead of where I am now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the couple of interesting terms. So two guys came up and they were talking that, you know, the one guy's dad had an old Chevy. Cool. Okay. And he said, I think it's an SS of some sort. And I said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't know what kind it is. He said, I know it's an SS. He said, but I know it sits real low and it goes up and down. And he goes, I think it's a hydraulic car.
And I go, okay. It's got a low rider?
I said, so maybe it's an Impala? And you would have thought that I predicted this kid's future. He's like, yeah, that's it, an Impala. How'd you know? How'd you know it's an Impala?
Lucky guess, said, kid.
Well, you know, I said the hydraulics are popular on a certain kind of car, mostly in that era of Chevys. And, and it was just a wild guess, but, you know, yeah, that's cool. So at the end of the day, the other thing that I thought was really great was everyone, except for the girl who wanted to be an attorney, every one of the kids that I talked to had a personal experience with cars by working on them or hanging out with their brothers or their dads or their uncles, really solidifying that this is a full-on family engaging activity. It's something you can do with the kids and mom and dad and whatever. And they liked doing that so much that they want to continue to do it and possibly for a career.
Man, that's good. They keep pushing it along to the next generation. That's great to see.
Well, and not even just that it's a, you know, take the car thing out of it. Mm-hmm. How many people, so you've got, you know, your two daughters. Mm-hmm. How many activities do you do with them that they're so enthusiastic about that they want to do for a living because of your time with them?
None.
Right. You know, most kids are like, Mom, Dad, I don't want to do that, or, you know.
Zero.
They couldn't get enough of it. These guys were, and the one kid was an eighth grader, and his dad taught him how to weld, and, you know, he built a go-kart. And,
that's
and
solid.
He just wants to get home at the end of the day, and hopefully his dad's got enough, you know, energy in his tank to go out in the garage and work with him, and, and that was really neat to see.
That is really neat to see. Yeah, my kids have, they've been down an art path forever. And
I've seen your art.
I am the anti-artist, for Pete's sake. I can't even draw a straight line, for crying out loud. So, yeah, they definitely get that from somebody other than me. But like those kids, they see that as their potential career path, is doing something that they can make a living at, which is even more so than what I thought I could do at that age. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, it's good that they're good at something and see a future there, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was also one eighth grade girl who came up, and she's looking at the, so on my little desktop there, I had a die-cast 69, like a Yanko Chevelle. And then there was a die-cast 57 Chevy, like one of those muscle machines with the blower and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then my laptop is showing videos. And at this point, it's showing a video of like a C3 Corvette and then that 57 Ford wagon with the big motor. And this girl walks up. She's real reserved and she's kind of eyeing me up. And I said, hey, do you like cars? And it turned out the guy next to me sent her over. He's like, no, you got to talk to him. So she comes over like, why do I need to talk to you? You know? And I said, do you like cars? And she's like, well, yeah. And I said, okay, you know, what do you like? And she goes, 350 and 370 Zs. I said, right on. And, right. And she said it like nothing that you've got here. I like the Z cars, you know, not this old American junk.
Get your Yanko Chevelle out of here. All right. And Yanko right. Camaro, beat it.
And I said, those are cool. And she's like, you think they're cool? I said, heck yeah. I said, what do you think of the new one that's coming out? And she's like, I don't like it.
Wow. Said,
well, all right. Well, what right. don't you
now
like?
We have a conversation going here now, right on.
We did. I said, what don't you like? And she's like, well, I don't think the design really reflects the earlier cars as well as it should. You know, she said, I know it's supposed to be different, but I really think it'd be more identifiable if it looked more like the older ones.
Who is this kid?
I know,
I
right?
I love it.
So I said, okay, have you seen one in person? And she's like, no. And I said, you might think differently. Because I got a chance to interview the guy who heads up that program from Nissan. And her eyes light up. And I said, he's Japanese. I can't pronounce his name right now. I don't remember it. But he explained in detail about the design cues and the energy they tried to capture with the design language. And it sold me. I thought the car was really wonderful. And she's like, where did you meet him? And I'm like, well, that's a whole nother story. Someday when you're old enough to go to Las Vegas, you can go to the SEMA show if you get in the industry, and what happens. But I said, so how'd you get into the Z cars? And she's like, well, my brother's got one, and he races it, and he takes me to the Midnight Madness drag racing at the local track in St. Louis. And
oh, hell yeah.
And I said, that's cool. So what do you want to do for a career? She's like, well, someone drag racing. All right. So
yes, kid.
You drive. I mean, there's a lot of things to do. You want to be a driver? Do you want to be an engine builder? Do you want to be a
crew chief?
Drive the rig that gets there? Do you want to be a marketing? And she's like, well, I don't know. I said, have you worked on the car? And she said, they won't let me work on them yet, but maybe this summer.
All right.
And I said, well, you got to go let them give you something.
Push
right?
It.
Get your hands on some wrenches and help them do something on the car, and that will help you figure out what area you want to go. Because you obviously can't drive yet because you're not old enough, but you know, if you got a little handle on the mechanical side, you'll have that behind you, and then when you get your license, it'll all kind of come together. You know. And she's like, well, yeah, it's cool. I'll go tell them. I go, yeah, you go tell them. You can call me if they give you a hard time.
Yeah, for sure. My friend Kevin said.
Yeah, that I'm supposed to work on this.
Yeah, that's a great plan for her. I love it.
It was cool.
Yeah, man, that's got to be really eye-opening for you to see those kids and see all these kids that kind of are further along, like you said earlier, than you realize they were as far as what they want to do and what their interests are.
Totally.
Yeah. That gives me a lot of hope.
It was refreshing.
Good deal.
And then there was one more, not to go on this forever, but one more little guy came up and, you know, he's uneasy. He's a little socially... not awkward, but just not there yet, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
not used to going up to, you know, big dumb bald guys who doesn't know and talking to him at social events, right? So I said, "Hey, what's up, man?" And he's like, "Hi." And I said, "You like cars?" Yeah. And I said, "Okay, what? Got a favorite? You know?" No, I just like them. And I said, "Okay, well, you know, I'm here today telling people that as you plan your career landscape someday to, you know, keep the auto side in mind, because it doesn't matter what you want to do, there's a place for it here." And he said, yeah, I think I want to design video games. And I go, right on. That's cool. I said, do you play with computers now? He's like, yeah. I said, do you code stuff? Yeah, I'm taking classes and I build websites and all that. And I said, that's cool. I said, let me drop this one on you. I said, you know what the new Corvette looks like? And he said, yeah. And I said, the operating system for the Corvette is cloud-based. So when you park it in your garage at night, it reprograms itself. And he goes, really? I mean, he just exploded, right?
Got him.
And I said, yeah, dude, you could do all kinds of cool programming. And I said, look at the dashboards and the displays and the graphic design and the interaction with the people and the features and the technology. There's so much to do there. And he left, you know. Signed me up, basically. He was
solid.
So that was cool.
Kevin Osi reeling him in. Love it.
Well, and the very last one was a gauntlet that was thrown down. So this guy, again, three or four kids came up, and three of them were, you know, interested in cars, and the fourth kid's like, nah, I don't know, and which is fine. You know, I'm not trying to convert anybody. But I said, so what is it that that you like? And he goes, well, I want to do something with animals. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be a vet or a trainer or something, you know, with animals. And I go, that's cool. I said, you heard me telling your friends here that every single career is connected or has a connection with cars or trucks somehow. And he's like, yeah. I said, would you believe that there's a giant industry of companies that make things to help people transport their dogs safely? Floor mats, harnesses, pet carriers, safety devices, things that when you get somewhere with your dog, you can unpack your gear, throw the Frisbee around. And he's like, really? And I said, for sure, man. Who doesn't love dogs, you know, and cats? Dogs especially. You always see dogs in cars more and more, and maybe that's something to think about. Oh, my dad's got a pickup truck. Yeah, we need one of those. Yeah, great. You know,
All right. And you can design it, kid.
That's right. You could be the future, who is a WeatherTech, right? And I think they probably have something for animals.
Definitely have something for animals. Holy cow, that guy's got something for everything.
Yeah.
With the way he's throwing up buildings in the area, he's got everything. Holy cow. And
that stuff's not on a boat waiting to get here either.
Nope. Which is it's all pretty, manufactured right here.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was fun. So
sounds fun, man.
Yeah, yeah. So my buddy, he's like, so do you think you might come back? I'm like, oh, I already got this. We're going to bring cars and stuff next time. I mean, it's on. And he's right like, on. All right, cool. I said, I'm not going to need to borrow your micro machines for the next go around here.
We're going to have some macro machines next time.
Yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah. So it's been a big week of very, like, all over the spectrum, you know, of the automotive world this week, and then recorded that new Bonneville Up to Speed podcast.
Oh yes, let me tell you, I'm about halfway through that right now. I started to listen to it this morning. I am deep into this episode, man. I love it. I am just geeking out like crazy. Yeah. Listening to all this tuner stuff. I could geek out and listen to that all day because I love the whole tuning process. And you're talking about the Spintron. Mm-hmm. And how the most of your exhaust note comes from the exhaust valve, not necessarily the engine.
Yeah.
That is it's blowing my little mind.
Well, I'm so glad because, you know, there's kind of a place and time for all these topics. In this particular episode, we talked to Scott Clark, not related to you.
No relation.
But Scott is a smart guy. He's a tuner, calibrator. And he works with Team Vesco on their turbine-powered streamliner. Have you gotten that far into it yet?
Yeah, they were right when I stopped. They were you're talking about the Chinook engines and the horsepower he's got them to put out the shaft horsepower. Yeah,
so these things, this
crying out loud.
Oh, it's ridiculous. So yeah. the Turbinator land speed streamliner has two. Chinook helicopter engines, you know, that power it. And it has gone, so the big race, it's been for years, but this year in particular, they think there's going to be several streamliners that could break the 500 mile an hour record this year by different means.
Right.
So the Speed Demon car, piston driven,
yeah.
This one, turbine powered, still wheel driven. None of these are thrust like jets or rockets. You can't have those anymore.
Like the Blue Flame or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And the Turbinator has gone 503 at an exit speed a few years ago, but it didn't set the record. It didn't turn around and back it up. So you'll get into the rest of that story in that episode. So if you're interested in some really cool, fairly hardcore tech, we're trying to make it so that, you know, I can understand it at least.
Right on.
Check out the Bonneville Up to Speed podcast because it was a fun one to do.
Yeah, turn this garbage off right now and go to the Bonneville Up to Speed.
Well, you can click on both, you know.
I kid.
Yeah. But they are different for sure. This cast and that one are
different. Oh, for sure. Yeah, different. Yeah.
As is the stubborn German one, which, by the way, Chris Ron sends his best, and he appreciates all the sausage talk.
Right on. Good. I'm glad. I'm glad he heard that.
He said he thought that was funny, which it was.
This is not my sausage. This is my sausage. Oh, that's good stuff. I love it.
This is not my sausage. And, you know, I guess that's a little bit of a challenge to if you do multiple media to make sure it's not the same thing everywhere.
Sure.
But it's been fun to be able to do.
Well, they're three very separate entities. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It should be easy. I mean, I say it should be easy, but should be easy enough to, have, original content for all three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yeah, man.
Except for this one, you know. It's original, but... Well, it's original. I'll give you that.
It is. We are an original.
That's right. We're coming up with original thoughts on the fly on this one.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all good, though. That's what keeps it dynamic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This morning, I went to a local cars and coffee event.
Oh, right on.
Which it was the gathering of the I-55 Firebird Club.
Oh, nice.
The people behind the upcoming Firebird Fest event.
Firebird Fest, right.
Yeah. Great bunch of guys and gals. A lot of fun. Nice people. shaping up to be a big event. 216 cars from 32 states signed up right now.
That's ridiculous. I love it.
It is. Yeah, that's great. It's great. It's gonna be coming through our little town, so we will be shooting some video and stuff there.
And when is that event again?
That is May 27th. Well, the weekend of, I'm sorry, not the 27th, 19th through the 22nd of May.
Okay.
All weekend long, they're doing stuff, and they're coming to my hometown on the 21st for an afternoon show in Waterloo, Illinois. But it'll be cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. That's right. I'm still trying to see if I can make it out to that. Yeah, May 21st. That's a Saturday. All right.
I'll send you some pictures otherwise.
I'm sure you will.
It made me think of a trivia question that I don't know if we did here. And nobody, I asked one guy there, he didn't have any concept. And I'll share this one just because. But why, outside of the fact that it has them, why does it say four-wheel disc on the door handle of those Trans Ams? The ones that have four-wheel disc brakes.
Why does it say four-wheel disc?
Yeah, because if you walk up to what's the package?
The WS6 package?
The WS6 package that had the four-wheel disc brakes.
Yeah.
Those cars have a sticker on the door handle that says four-wheel disc.
I was not aware of that.
It's a multi-level trivia question. Yeah, first of all, they had that. And second of all, who the heck knows why? And the only thing that I know, I've not been able to find any research on it. If anybody knows, please share it. Hit us up on the Facebook page or on the website. My guess is that in the late 70s, early 80s, certain features were new. And they called stuff out that was, you know, it's commonplace today.
Yeah.
And maybe it was a cue for the salespeople to know which were WS6 cars in the lot.
Maybe just, you know, general marketing purposes to show off, emphasize something. So like the one question we did have, about radial tuned suspension.
That's right. That's another one. Yeah. But that was inside the car.
That was inside the car. Right.
Ford had, do you remember like the Fairmonts and even the Lincolns that had the sticker in the backside window that said automatic overdrive?
No, I don't remember that. But that's...
Yeah, that overdrive badges in the windows.
Huh.
Well, now I want to buy one.
Yeah. He has overdrive. He gets better gas mileage, quieter ride.
This man is overdriven.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And I got some insight from a gentleman at a company called Built Right Converters. He's a torque converter guy. Locally, he builds high-performance converters and a lot of transmission work and whatnot. And I drove my RIV, and we were talking about the RIV and the road trip I took, and he's like, what kind of gas mileage and blah, 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 what gear? And I said, you know, I'm really leaning more towards this car getting some kind of an overdrive at some point, because even with a 307 gear, you heard my mileage numbers, it could benefit. And he's like, well, what are you thinking? And I said, you know, it's an analog car, so it's carburetor, it's got a turbo 400, I don't know, a 700 R4 you can't get with a Buick pattern, so
right. Well, you know, 200 R4 you can
200 right. R4 yeah. and I've got one, and it's on the shelf for you still, right.
I mean if you need to use it.
Well, but here's the thing that we both need to consider. He said, yeah, 200 4Rs are kind of a different animal. And I said, interestingly, around here a lot of transmission builders don't want to take him on.
Really?
And he said, yeah, they don't. And he said, I'll tell you why. He said, a 200 4R, it's a four-speed automatic overdrive GM transmission, came in a lot of stuff in the 80s, with the Buick Olds Cadillac pattern on it, so you could, and it's shorter than a turbo 400, so it would bolt right in. And one of my concerns is I have an X-frame, and I don't have a lot of room back there.
Okay.
But he said, the problem is, people buy a 200 4R, Grand National spec or whatever.
Right.
And they throw it in the car and drive it and say, this sucks because it doesn't shift where I want it.
Okay.
And he said, at that point, you have to change springs and things in the transmission, change hard parts to change the shift points and the firmness.
Really?
He said, so in order to do a 200 4R properly, you got to match it to the car, which takes couple days of driving and taking it apart and putting it back together and taking it apart.
Ooh.
To really dial it in. And he said, a lot of people aren't that patient or don't understand that. And they just put it in and go, I hate this thing. Uh-huh. And then they blame the builder saying, you know, you didn't get it right.
Huh.
It's like, there's really no way to get them right without
a lot of effort.
Mechanical calibration later. So he said, maybe you just want to get an electronic 4L80E. And right. I said, yeah, I didn't really want to get the controller, but maybe if I have to, I have to, you know.
I gotcha. Ugh, that bumps me out. Or maybe you just go with the gear vendors at that point.
Could do that too. But yeah. For me, a gear vendor might not be the option because of that X-frame.
X-frame, right. Room.
Your car would be fine. Mm-hmm. Easy. Kit for it. Falls right in.
Yeah.
So that was interesting that I learned.
Yeah, that is. I'd never heard that before. That is pretty interesting. Huh.
Yeah, usually you hear about strength problems, you know, and he said, right. What are you gonna be doing with this? And I said, just nothing, you just know, just driving around.
Driving down the highway, man.
Yeah, right. Not setting any records. Not going to saddle a couple Lycoming turbine engines in out of a Chinook helicopter.
Yeah, now me, I would definitely need that strengthened up a bit.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. That's a fire-breathing monster I'm driving.
It's a manly machine right there.
That's right. I have to show my manliness once in a while. I got to whip it out.
There you well, on that note, I think we should whip out the singular answer.
Singular
to our
answer, yeah.
To our trivia question.
Wah, wah. Now, I had another thought about that.
Oh, yeah. Now you want to go back, huh?
No, I mean, my answer stands, but I'm thinking that this is a Kevin Ostie trick question, and XR4TI doesn't stand for anything, but we're going to find
always
out.
Always that possibility.
Yeah, always. So it just didn't come to me soon enough.
There are some good examples of automotive things that don't stand for anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. There was a... Or words that don't mean anything. Of course, we see that all the time now with all these mostly Japanese imports that are just made up words. But the Pontiac Fiero is a great example.
Oh, you know, was it, what was it, like the 3M4 or something? Whatever.
The 2M6.
2M6.
And the 2M4. But the word Fiero, you know what that means?
I don't.
Yeah, because it doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. Well, it sounds nice.
It sounds awesome. And and in the 80s, there was this really hot ad agency that was doing a lot of real major stuff. And Pontiac hired this guy to name their new car. And he looked at it and he's like, yeah, it looks kind of like a Ferrari. So let's come up with something close. We'll call it a Fiero.
Huh. All right.
And the same guy named the Pizza Hut product that was their medium deep dish called Priazzo. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Priazzo from Pizza Hut. The Priazzo, they had the Milano and the Priazzo Roma, I think. And what does Priazzo mean? Nothing.
Nothing. All
it's
right.
Like a pizza, but not. So it's like a Ferrari, but not. That's what this guy did. He took what you are and made it, but not.
Made it nothing. All right. Yeah. Took nothing, made it something, but means nothing.
Right.
All right. That's great. Nailed it. That's marketing 101, kids.
That's it. Totally. But that's not what happened here in the trivia question.
Oh, okay.
So what does the XR4TI mean in the world of Mercur? Well, the XR, you said experimental.
Yes.
Which you would really think, but unfortunately it's not.
Ah.
And then you said, I don't know how to go through this.
Rear drive,
four-door, four-speed.
Yeah, four-door,
four-speed. Transmission, and then injected. And then
injected, yeah.
So the reality is the XR was the series.
Okay.
So it's an XR platform, I guess. The XR4 was a four-cylinder, not four-door, because it was a two-door car.
Shut up.
First indicator. The T is turbocharged.
Ah, T for turbo.
But you nailed, well, not really. You said injected, and I think it was actually intercooled.
Son of a biscuit.
So You gave kind of the Piazza of answers there. It was close, but not quite.
I am a living Piazza. Oh, man. Cue ball strikes again.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to scratch that itch, jump on YouTube and type in Piazza commercial, and then whoever the narrator was, you're going to hear him immediately and go, I remember that dude, and I remember that all pie, right, and the whole thing. So, fun little trip.
Good times. Heavens to Betsy. All right. Yeah. Kind of an interesting question, though.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you thought so.
Yeah. We'll make now I know. Up. Now the pinnacle of my life has been achieved. And I have you to thank, sir.
It's spilled Piazza sauce and a Fiero.
Yeah. My life's complete. I'm going to quit my job and just wander the earth now. I have nothing else to prove.
Oh, man. Well, I don't even have one of those pinnacle moments yet, so looking forward to the letdown myself.
Right on. And I hope I get to be there for that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, maybe I'll drive the car up there. All right. Well, this was fun.
Yeah, man.
Kind of all over the place, but thanks for hanging with us. If you like this kind of stuff, we're going to have most likely more nonsense next time.
Yeah.
You can hit that magic subscribe button, and this enlightening show will be beamed right to your email doorstep every time we put one out. There are a whole bunch of people to thank, too. Next time, I think we'll do a list of some listener commentary and stuff. We've got some shout-outs to do and whatnot. So, well, right on, man. That's about all I got. That was my brain dump for this week.
All I got is Priazzo.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the V8 Radio Podcast. For Mr. Mike Hubal Clark, I'm Kevin Oste, reminding you, don't spill the Piazza in your lap because it's hot.
Fiero.